redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. The King James Bible will often use the word conversation as the manner of life, the way you live, the choices that you make, how you conduct yourself in the world. Conversation, and it's a great word because your life speaks, doesn't it? Does it not? And look at it, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We behave the way we do. It's just passed along from generation to generation. And not just ours, not just in your own family heritage, but we observe the rudiments of the world around us. And without Christ, without the Word of God, we just fall in line to those rudiments. We weren't redeemed by things in this world. We weren't redeemed by valuables and money, silver and gold. But with the precious, precious blood of Christ, as of a, say it with me, lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And so as we read Exodus 12 today, I'm going to bring out some things that are not only true of Israel and their deliverance by a lamb, but things that are true for us today concerning our deliverance or our salvation. And really, this is, the whole Old Testament works this way. It's quite incredible. But this is just another chapter that testifies of the power and the inerrancy, the beauty of the Word of God. It's quite remarkable. So we're going to look at this today, and all this in order to remember Jesus Christ in our communion service. So that's the introduction, and let's bow our heads once again and pray. Father, I pray that we would enter into this today very sober. Sometimes people come in doing this, and we're going to observe this today, and it can be almost depressing. And that's not the case. Lord, we're sorry that we sin against you, and I hate the fact that I sin against you, and it's not right. And there are sins that we commit that we can exercise our will over and not do. There are things that we do in this world, Lord, and I'm sorry for it, that we even foster sin in our lives by the things that we allow into our eyes or into our ears or into our mouth. And I'm sorry for those things. But Lord, even on our best day and our best behavior, we still sin against you. And it's just not right. We don't want it to affect our fellowship. But we're stuck in this sinner's body. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's the way it is right now. And I'm so glad you're not mad at us about it, that we don't face your wrath, because your son did, and we've received him as our sin bearer. And maybe someone in here this morning has never done that, and they live yet under your wrath. Pray today they get saved. But Lord, we've been redeemed. And you called a special service like this to cause us to remember the price you paid. But the interest behind it is that you'd have fellowship with us. So may we examine ourselves today, and even the secret faults that we do, things we sin against you we don't even know we're doing that's sinful. We want to be cleansed afresh from those things. We know the blood of Christ, that we're clean and spotless before you. We know that. But again, Lord, we don't want anything that might affect our friendship with you, our relationship personally. So have your way with each one of us today. And I pray you'd be glorified as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the title of today's message is The Passover Lamb, a picture of our Lamb. So you got your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 12. Let's go ahead and look in this first point. We see the Passover changed Israel's calendar. It changed Israel's calendar. Let's look at it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, why did he say that to them? Well, up to this point, the very first month was Tersi and Ethanim. It was not these months that we're that he's starting them off with now. Before it was Tersi and Ethanim related to our September and October, by the way. So September and October were the beginning of the year, and they observed September and October as their beginning of the year, because that's when the Jews believed creation took place, in October. And reliable chronologists also take the creation back to the month of October, and even to the date of October 23rd, which again is also recognized by most Jewish historians as well. And so that's when their year began. But now, not so. Now it's going to be Abib and Nisan, which to us are the months of March and April, or April. And that's what the Lamb of God does. He changes their calendar. But you know what? He also changed our calendar, because the Julian calendar was followed up until 1582, and then the Gregorian calendar took over, and those all claim A.D., and that would be the year of our Lord. And so those calendars really, in this time, begins with the Lord, and so it marks the beginning for our calendar too, in many ways. And so what's even more important, I think, personally, is the day you and I applied the blood of Christ to the doorposts of our life, to our heart, because it changed my calendar. How about yours? Change your life. Lena, I got an email from you today that you and Catherine have finished, or Kathleen, excuse me. Kathleen, you've been gone so long, I forgot your name. I did not. Welcome back again, by the way. You sent me that and said, I completed the first five lessons of discipleship, and I'm so excited, because Kathleen had posed the question to you, do you want to go on and be trained to be a disciple maker? And you said, yes. Yeah, praise the Lord. Changed our life, didn't he? Did he change your life? Jesus Christ changed our lives. You know, it's weird, because we can get used to stuff. We used to come into church, used to read in our Bible. We can get so far removed from the life that we could have had, even if you got saved very young. You know, your salvation story might not be exactly the same as mine, saved at almost 29 years old, but you would have, if very possible, you'd have ended up in the same type of life I had. So praise God that you got saved as a young person. And when we got saved, he changed our future. He changed our calendar, as it were. And we get so caught up in doing stuff, in Christian stuff, that we get so far removed from the fact that we were once lost, that it just becomes, I won't say ho-hum, but it just, not old hat, but it's just, we just take it for granted. And that's why we have a day like today, because we shouldn't take this for granted, because it was a brand new beginning for each and every one of us. So this event marks a brand new life and a brand new beginning. Number two, we see that a lamb is required. If you have a study sheet, let's look in verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Now we notice in verse 3 that every house needs a lamb. Every house needs a lamb. You guys got that? That's not hard to understand, is it? In the Hebrew, you know what that means? Just what you read. It was a joke. All right, Denny laughed. All right, so every house needs a lamb. But now look in verse 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man to his eating shall make your count for what? The lamb. So now we notice that it's not just a lamb. Not just a lamb will do, but it must be the lamb. You see, Christ must be received personally, as we'll see in verse 5. And we must, boy, I love this verse, because we must be willing to share the lamb with our neighbors. We must be willing to share Christ, especially to those that are the closest to us. Do you have people in your family that don't know Christ? How about your neighbors, especially? Everybody we come in contact with, if possible, but especially those that are closest to us. We have to be willing to share this lamb. It's personal. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. That's very interesting. See, a lamb, in verse 3, must be the lamb, in verse 4, and ultimately it must become your lamb. Now, as I've just stated, Christ must be received personally. This is a lamb without blemish, my friends. Our dear Savior was without spot or wrinkle. He was tempted, oh yes. He was tempted like as we are, but without sin. He lived in this world and walked hard. I've been to Israel, and I'm just telling you, it's just a country of trails. And they would have walked everywhere. And I mean, it's rocky and hilly and mountainous. And the soil is hard. And it is difficult to travel over there on foot. I can't imagine. And he walked in this world. He experienced the same kind of things that you and I experience. Difficulties in life. Not just hardships physically, but emotionally. He lost people. He watched as this world was spiraling out of control. He lived on this planet as one of us. I tell you, that's incredible to me. And not only that, he was tempted with the same things that you and I are. All throughout his life, he was tempted, but he never sinned. He came through it all spotless. And see, that makes him the perfect and acceptable sacrifice. So whatever trials and temptations that you've been through, whatever they are, whatever sorrows and griefs, the Bible said he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Whatever pains you've experienced, so is he. He's faced these very same things. And so guess what, Christian? He understands you. He totally understands you. And so we can come to him and talk to him that way about these things. This is the truth, isn't it? It's just the truth. And as we read, I emphasized it. Look at it. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or the goats. This wasn't raised up. There wasn't like a small group of spotless lambs that you would raise up. It wasn't special. They were one of the herd. This lamb was taken out from among the other sheep. And again, he's one of us. He was indeed a human being, a man, but he was also perfect as God. And because he's God, he's without blemish. And by the way, this is remarkable. A lamb, the progression, the lamb, your lamb. That is not found in the Hebrew Masoretic text. It doesn't exist there. But when they translated it into English, the English grammar demanded, they didn't just make it up. The English grammar demanded that it be translated that way when it came over from Hebrew to English. So what you got here is an advanced revelation in your King James Bible. What do you think of that? And by the way, not all modern versions, but most, take that out and they miss that. What a shame. What a shame. Verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The whole congregation of Israel was to slay the lamb. Now, not that every particular person shared in the act of killing the lamb, but they did so representatively, just like they did when he was presented to them by Pontius Pilate. I'll let this man go free. I'm able to. I'm Pontius Pilate. I'm the governor of this area. I can let someone go free. I will let him go free. And you know what the Jews said in unison? Not each Jew killed Jesus Christ, but in unison they yelled out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! His blood be upon us and our children." And boy, that prayer has come true, hasn't it? Wow. They've had trouble ever since. They had trouble before, but boy, they had trouble ever since. And it's so true. And this lamb was to be killed in the evening. You see that? It had to be killed in the evening. Every one of them are responsible, whether they laid their hands on this lamb or not. But it was to be killed in the evening. And this is the same time our Lord was crucified. Although it would have been late in the afternoon that Wednesday when he died, it was close to evening and the light of day became black with darkness. And while Christ walked the earth, there was light. And when he died, it became very dark, as recorded in the scriptures. And this is a very interesting note. It doesn't necessarily mean anything, just interesting to me. That some converted, born-again rabbis who've studied these things and studied the Jewish historic records, they actually believe that when the knife was being pierced into the neck of the Passover lamb by the great high priest, because it was that time, they were observing this feast that we're reading about right here. They were remembering this Passover lamb. They believe that when the knife was pierced into the neck of the Passover lamb by the high priest, that it was the very moment Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. That doesn't mean much, but I just kind of think the way God works, that's probably exactly how it happened. Just a thought, just an opinion. Very interesting, though. Oh, I wish Israel understood this chapter. They will one day, won't they? Yeah. This flag up here does not represent a political view, by the way, if you're a guest. God said that he'll bless those that bless the nation of Israel. And right now, they're really
And throughout their history, they've really not been worth blessing because they reject Jesus Christ. But I believe the Bible, and I know you do too. And I want to be a blessing to them because they are God's chosen people. It was from them that Jesus came, right? It was from them we got the law, we got the semblance of order, we got the Ten Commandments, we got the family structure, we got how that's all supposed to be ordered. We really owe Israel a lot. I could go on. And so we want to bless them. And in turn, we want God to bless us because we believe him. We don't expect it as we expect it. We just believe God's promise that he'll honor that. And he has, hasn't he? Right now, they reject Jesus Christ, but one day they won't. And he'll establish his kingdom on Mount Zion. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. The lamb's blood must be applied to the doorpost. The blood of your lamb, if you were a Jew at this time in history in Egypt, was to be placed on the two side posts and on the top of the doorway entrance. And what it does is it forms a bloody cross, doesn't it? If this was a doorway, we've got a cross carved in right here. They had to paint it here, mark it here. They had to mark it here, and they had to mark it there. Very interesting. Cross. If you connected the dots. And you remember on Calvary, on Golgotha, the place of the skull, you had Jesus Christ in the middle. You had one thief and another thief. Yeah. Either way, the picture is clear, isn't it? You know, in John chapter 10 and verse 9, listen to it. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Doorpost with blood on it. Please listen. Please ponder this. This is very important. This might be the most important thing that I say today. And please remember, you could be inside. You could be inside praying to Jehovah God, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You could be in there in that house all night. All night long, you could stay up all night praying to Jehovah God. You could be repenting from your sin. "God, I'm so sorry I've sinned against you." You could be confessing your faults to him. I allow this in my mind. I've said this to my wife. I did this. I did that. God, I'm so sorry. God, I'm so thankful you are just and merciful. You are the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You could, in sincerity, be calling upon him to forgive you and trusting in his grace and mercy. I believe only you can forgive sins. I trust you to forgive my sins. God, save me this night. You could pray all of that with pure 100% sincerity. But if you didn't have any blood on your doorpost, you're dead. Didn't matter. Doesn't matter. You could be as religious as could be and as sincere as could be. Totally sincere with all your might. But if you didn't have the blood applied to the doorpost, you wouldn't be saved. So you think about that. There's a lot of very, very sincere religious Christians out there. But without trusting in Christ's blood alone for forgiveness, they're going to perish. And I hope you're not one of them. The
The blood had to be applied. Verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. I thirst. But roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, all the other parts. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. It's got to be completely eliminated. Complete and totally. This lamb, the lamb, must be consumed. It must be roasted with fire. The wrath of God fell upon Jesus Christ, just like the fire fell upon the spotless Passover lamb. It must be eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Unleavened indicates separation from impurity. It's unleavened. Bitter herbs reminds the Jews of their captivity in Egypt, but would remind us, as we read, of our past captivity to sin and our need for purity in our life. After we're saved, we're spotless in God's eyes, but we're still practically sinners. But God wants us to be holy as He is and to be pure. It must be completely consumed. Look at it. Look at those verses. Must be completely consumed. Now, it's interesting that this is not, if you were to go back into or go ahead into Leviticus and read, the method of the Levitical law is different. This isn't the same prescription. See, the lamb is not called a burnt offering, but the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. So in this sense here in Exodus 12, it is a completed work. It's not temporary. It's not ever to be repeated realistically again, only as a memorial, only to be remembered. Therefore, my friends, this is a finished work that we're reading, these instructions. It's a finished work. Every lost man, upon learning of the Savior's shed blood, should immediately eat him, should immediately make it personal. And Jesus spoke of this as recorded in John 6. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Freaked everybody out when he said that. In John 6, people are like, I'm not following this guy anymore. And he wasn't speaking. He says right there, right in the text, I'm not speaking physically eating me or physically drinking my blood. It's a spiritual application. You need to ingest me. I need to be in you. It needs to be personal. And think about what this passage says. It's over. Burn it all up. It's done. It was not an ongoing, progressive work over the centuries. It was a completed work. Christ offered himself once an offering for sin. He doesn't need to be crucified afresh again and again and again. His work on the cross is finished. Hold your place here and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 in the New Testament. Verse 9, then said he, Hebrews 10, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This is Jesus Christ. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The first testament, the Old Testament that we're reading about in Exodus, Jesus replaced with the New Testament, the second testament. Verse 10, by the which will
We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How often? Once for all. For all. And every priest standeth, verse 11, daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, and that's true, which can never take away sins, as Pastor Stephen reminded us of this morning. Thank you. Verse 12, but this man, Jesus Christ, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is a one-time sacrifice, and it is a completed work, folks. Complete. And point number three on your study sheet, if you turn back to Exodus 12, we see the manner in which the lamb was eaten. Verse 11, Exodus 12. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on you. In other words, your belt's tightened up. You're pulling yourself together. Your shoes are on your feet, your staff in your hand, because it's rough traveling. And you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man, watch, and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. In other words, I can do this. So the manner in which the lamb was to be eaten, urgency is necessary. And as already stated from verse 8, right now, everything about this chapter points to urgency. Look at it in verse 11. Loins girded, shoes in your feet, a walking staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. For a lost man, it's a figure of salvation. You see, the sooner you apply that blood and you take that lamb personally and receive it as your own, as your lamb, the better. So if you're in here today and you've never received Christ, you need to quit playing around with God, because you don't know what a day is going to bring. Today would be a great day to get saved. For a saved man, you know why they were doing this, don't you? Eat it in haste. Because we're getting out of here. We're getting out of Egypt. And so for the rest of us, what this event today is about, communion, the sooner you leave Egypt behind, the better. Sooner you leave the rudiments of the world behind, the sooner you get rid of the sin that so easily besets you that you can actually do something about changing your behavior, your conversation, the better it will be. And this same passage tells us that we must be fully prepared, fully prepared. Why? Why? Because judgment is coming. You see it in verse 12. Upon the gods of Egypt, upon Egypt, are you prepared? Judgment is coming. It's the wrath of Almighty God himself upon sin, upon all false gods, and listen, upon every home and every family, and even the family livestock is included. In verse 29 of this same chapter, it says, yeah, and the cattle too. Firstborn of the cattle. Maybe not even the firstborn, who knows? Maybe it was all of them. My brothers and sisters, sin stains and curses everything, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And it affects your sin and my sin. It affects more than just me. It affects more than just you. It affects people that are around us. Did you ever think of this? The blessings that lost people enjoy in this world are really, in a sense, they're cursed, those blessings. These things are actually a curse to them because it's what they love. It's what they want most. And they'll never get enough of it. Never. Never get enough. I've had very, very wealthy people tell me this very same thing. You can never get enough stuff. You can start piling up stuff after stuff on top of stuff. If you've ever collected things, don't raise your hand. But if you've ever collected anything, you know exactly what I mean. You can never get enough of it. Can you? You can't. I collect things, certain things, and I can't. I'm like, well, I need that. I don't need any of that. I might enjoy those things. I'm not saying it's bad or evil. I'm just saying for lost people, their life is centered around stuff like that. I've been in countries where people are so poor, the floor in their dwelling place is dirt. And I've found that no matter where you are in the economic scale, you still lust after material things in the same fashion. So poor people can have the same lust after material goods, and they never can get enough of it. And maybe it's not material goods. Maybe it's people or a person or a relationship or whatever. Those very things that you put your trust in, they never satisfy, and they're actually a curse to you in that sense. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It's crazy. See, according to verse 13.4, there's only one way to escape judgment. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You know, there's only two religions in the world, aren't there? God's way and man's made-up way. Think about this. Man's way is trying to get up to God by human works. God's way is God coming down to earth to make a way for man to go up. Funny. No religion can save any human being. Salvation is from God alone. And, you know, I want you to notice, after all the things we've read, God did not say, when I see that you've cleaned up your life, I'll pass over. He didn't say, when you become a respected person, I'll pass over. He didn't say, when you get baptized, I'll pass over. He didn't say, when you join the right church, I'll pass over. Oh, no, no, no. He did say, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Salvation is through the blood of the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ is the only way. And I feel like the need to say this, and I can be brash about it or harsh about it sometimes from the pulpit. And personally, I might feel that way, but not so much. But we get railed on a lot for talking down other beliefs and other religions. That happens. Are you guys with me on that? But think about it. I mean, it's a free country. You can believe whatever you want, and I actually defend that. For anybody, they can believe whatever they want, as long as it's according to the law and they're not, you know, like sacrificing babies or weird things like that. But based on this, based on the truth of Jesus Christ, it's our duty to preach against those things because they're false ways. And not just false for the people who are going to perish under those things with no blood of the Savior. Not just that, but it's dishonoring to God to believe there's some other way when His own Son shed His blood for our sins. So it's right to stand up, and people are always going to get ticked off or honk. Well, why would you even say that? You know, that's not the right way. And you don't have to necessarily say it that way. And most all of you would say it differently in your own kind way. But it's right for us to stand up for the blood of Christ.
isn't it? Because it's an affront to God. It's not just about their own salvation and deliverance. He said in verse 12, I am the Lord. I will execute judgment. He's God. Church, it took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to purchase your eternity, and nothing else will do. Nothing. Only Christ. And last point, number five, the Jewish Passover and the church's communion are similar. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Both are memorials. Both are for remembrance. And both are ordinances, not sacraments. An ordinance is observing an order or a command. I will obey this. I will do this in order to remember. A sacrament is an act or deed done to gain something personally from it. Human works, to gain salvation, to gain grace, to gain a blessing. If I do this, you'll do this. This is an ordinance, what we're observing today, what the Jews observe. It's an ordinance. Oh, if only our Jewish friends understood the picture of their Passover. Isn't this incredible? Well, again, one day they will. Someday soon they will. Well, as we remember that Jesus Christ died for us, let's make this a proper memorial service and examine ourselves. And so if there's something that you or we need to make right with God, let's do it this morning. There's no better place, there's no better time than now to exercise your free will and to say no to the sin or sins that so easily beset you and secret faults that we don't even know about. So when the men are distributing the elements, Beth is going to play softly some music. Don't talk. This is a time to think about such matters. And if you're not saved, then pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal sin bearer. Just admitting, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me to pay the price for my sin, that he shed his blood to pay for my sins, and that he rose again 3 days later. I believe that. I receive Christ as my personal Savior. You could do that today. So may we remember the price he paid to purchase our eternity until we meet him in the sky. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, this is an incredible event that you've recorded. And I pray that would not ever be lost on us as believers, that we would always remember what you did for us and remember that we've been delivered, we're free. We're not stuck in this world anymore. It doesn't have any clutches on us anymore unless we let it. So, Lord, please help us today. And please be glorified in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting that we're told to do this as an ordinance to remember, and it includes physical elements: unleavened bread, grape juice, fruit of the vine, and we ingest them. It's kind of something, isn't it, that the Lord would have us do this? And I think about this all the time. There's so many reasons for this, but we are a physical people, aren't we? And the Lord gives us this unusual connection. You know, when we go to a memorial, we don't just go to a site to remember something. They always put a monument up, don't they? And we stand there and we'll read it and we'll look at it. It might have a soldier on it or whatever the monument is, and we'll reflect. We can look at something physical. And I know right now we can't see the Lord. And it's supposed to be that way by faith. You know, the enemy of our God, Satan, and all of his demonic disciples, they saw God and they rejected him. And we don't see him, and by faith we love him, we honor him, we receive him, we serve him, and we can't see him. So right now it's all by faith. But the Lord gives us this unusual connection here, and there's nothing magical or mysterious about what we're about to do. But it is a point of connection that's physical, like a memorial, to help us remember. Jesus' body was crushed. His blood was shed. He's a genius. You're a genius, Lord. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, a church that needed to observe this, of all the trouble that they had among themselves, he says in verse 23 of chapter 11 in the first letter, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So let's remember. Verse 25 says, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he'd supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's remember the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you for, in some ways, such an unusual event. And we do this in obedience to your command. We're thankful for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand? As the men are collecting they're going to pass some bowls to collect the empty cups. And as they're doing that, Pastor, would you lead us in singing this last song? Then we'll send our friends off. How's that? Thank you. all those on the Philippine and Thailand team, if you'll come forward right now, please. Stephen, why don't you help me move this up kind of toward the seats out of the way, if you could. All right. There we go. All right, my friends. Stephen, why don't you grab your mic and I'll ask you to pray for him. Come on in here. All right, why don't you guys scoot down just a bit so we can get everybody in here all centered up, huh? All right, is this a good-looking team, huh? All right, we got Matt Ashton leading the team. And so, Matt, I know you're going to do a great job. All of you are. And I'm really excited about what lies ahead. And plus, you get to see our friends. Yeah. So give them lots of hugs and kisses from us. And we've not ever met your friends in Thailand, but please give them our love, would you please? And so, we love you guys. And we're sending you off. So remember, you're not just going. You didn't just decide to do this. You're our ambassadors representing all of us. We all wish we could go. Well, most of us wish we could go. That's a far journey. But you are representing our church. And we love you guys, and we're thankful. So, Pastor, why don't you pray for their safety and for the success of their mission, both in the Philippines and for our friends here in Thailand.
Lord, we're so thankful. You've given us a purpose and a mission, and our brother and sister, this family, we love them so much. They're on the other side of the planet fulfilling that purpose that you've given us from your word, and they have a heart for that field, and it's clear that you put them there, and what a privilege it is to partner with them and to be with them and to be able to send our church over there to be with their church and with their people. Lord, I pray that every step of the way that you would guide and protect them. There's a lot of moving parts traveling that far. And there's a lot of things that could unfold. And so, Lord, I pray that you would guide and protect them. And where adjustments need to be made, that you would give Matt and the rest of the team clarity and wisdom and discernment to know what is best to take care of one another so this whole trip can be a success. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. And we pray that your love through us will be felt with Eddie and Sarah and their church, that they will be blessed by our team being there, and they would know that we love and we care for them. Lord, I also want to pray for the Richmonds spending time in Thailand. I pray that you would watch over and protect them as well, that they would have a great time with their missionary friend, and that he would be encouraged, that their family would be encouraged greatly with them being there. I so look forward to hearing all the things that you're going to do. These trips always give me great joy just to know that there's some great things you're going to teach each and every person on this team. There's ways you're going to stretch them and to change them. There's things you're going to communicate directly to them. So I pray that they would pay attention and that they would come back a different people because they've followed you by faith to go and do this mission. And so, Lord, we love them. And I pray that we would remember to pray for them daily and to think about them while they're gone and long for them to be back with us. So, Lord, we trust you. I pray that they would trust you. And we just pray that your hand would be upon them every step of the way. Lord, we love you. And what a great day to be able to do this. Observing communion and be able to send out this team. Lord, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, folks. And how many of you will pray for them every day? All right, check it out, team. All right, thank you, church. You're dismissed.